Fantastic to talk to you this morning. What about this notion? Because a three-day weekend, I don't know a human alive, if I said to them on Friday afternoon, do you want the next 3 days off, they'd say, nah. But realistically, is it something that we could or might see?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, the notion of it makes sense, but I think when people are rallying and saying, I'd love 3 days off, what they'd really like to do is pick and choose the time they want off. And I think that's what we're moving to, a time where it will be increasingly possible for many people to do their work, to do it really well, to exceed in the things they do, but then to say, you know what, it's Wednesday afternoon, I've got nothing to do for 3 hours, I'm taking the afternoon off.
Going further than what just sounds like a flexible boss, Morris, is this an example of the times are changing? I mean, why do we stick to the 9-to-5 job description when it doesn't seem to suit so many of our professions?
Times are changing. It made perfect sense, and it does for some jobs moving forward, for hospitals, for lots of people will need to be there 9-to-5. But the reason we had 9-to-5, and we've only had it for a couple of hundred years, which isn't a long time in humankind, was because we moved off the land into industrial revolution. We all had to turn up at a particular time. Many hands make light work. We all worked until a particular given period of time. We were watched by somebody to prove we were there. There were output mechanisms that were based on the number of hours and how much work we did. And that's the life that we led. Weekends were sacrosanct because of religious reasons, as they might be for many people today. But increasingly, neither of those are necessary. In other words, many people don't need to be there 9-to-5. They actually could be more productive working to project and task, which is the way I think we're going to work. And many of us work across weekends, and even if we don't have them for religious reasons. So that whole paradigm of what we used to have really doesn't suit us anymore.
Morris, could you give me a few examples, or at least an example perhaps, of the type of job these days that doesn't necessarily suit a 9-to-5 job?
Well, perhaps the thing that you and I are involved with, which is journalism and media. Stories happen all of the time. We often don't need to be at a particular place or at a particular time. Of course, if we are reporting on that story, we need to be there at that moment, but that's not a 9-to-5 activity either. We could quite easily be writing from home or writing from somewhere else at a time that suits us and the people we're speaking with. You need to be on air at a particular time. It makes sense for you to be there. But a lot of the other work happens around. I'm finding a lot of salespeople don't need to be in the office 9-to-5, obviously. Their best work is done in situ. It's done working at the client's office. Many of our accounting firms, the top end of tier, don't ask their people to come in anymore because they're working on site with their clients again. And they're doing it at times that are relevant to that client. So we're really beginning to ask ourselves, when's the most appropriate time to do this work? Where's the most appropriate time to do this work? We want to be efficient about it. We want the work to be done terrifically. Let's answer those questions and let's do it then, rather than just trying to shoehorn it in to a 9-to-5.
Morris, you mentioned the Industrial Revolution before and where the 9-to-5 hours came into place. What about before the Industrial Revolution? How did we do it then?
Many of us were agrarian, meaning that we lived on, near, or because of the land. So, of course, the land is a very, very hard mistress. She demanded that the work needed to be done when it needed to be done. We needed to plow the land. We needed to make it fallow. We needed to fertilize it, whatever it had to be done. And there was no 9-to-5, so we really worked making sure that what had to be done was done. The hours were inconsequential. And interestingly, we also worked more as a community or as a tribe. Many, many of us would have helped on the land from all generations that lived within that household. They were things that we've lost over the last couple of hundred years too.
So it seems that we're asking ourselves, should we be going back to before the Industrial Revolution? And what you're suggesting here is not necessarily a new thing, but back to the old.
I think so. I think really what we're doing is going back to the way that we were physiologically wired. Because we know we should be asleep, we know we should be awake, we know we should be doing things. We're not that silly at all. So in many ways, our body was attuned to telling us when work would need to be done, agriculturally wise, living on the land. Today, I think we're going back because of technology, because we're able now to work from many different places. We're able to connect with each other really easily, regardless of whether we're physically somewhere or not. We're really saying that all of these things now make it possible for us not to be together as often as possible in one space, but rather to meet in many spaces, do work again where and where it's required.
My guest is Morris Mizalowski, a business futurist Morris, what you say does seem, to, at least to me, to make sense. But I reckon it'd be a brave politician to start campaigning for it. What do you think it might take society as a whole to make this switch?
I actually think we've begun to do it on the quiet. And I don't know whether we need politicians in any great way. We certainly will need to look at our awards and payment structures, but we're starting to do that. And by I mean that we've already started to do it, it's not unusual for some industries, building industry for instance, to have an RDO, to work really hard for a couple of weeks and then take an extra day off maybe every fortnight. Mining industry does it. Many people that are listening now know that if they work a couple of extra hours on one particular day, they're able to take an RDO off or a couple come in a bit later in the morning or do other things. So we're already beginning to see flexibility in the workspace. Lots of people have chosen the consulting life, increasingly middle management, as they're moving away from a fixed job and moving into a consulting role. So there are lots of people out there doing it. I think it's really a quiet revolution.
Morris, I wonder if you can think of some examples of businesses that perhaps are the most likely to be at risk if they don't adjust to this type of thing.
I really think it's the service industry as a whole. Anyone in that service industry, by the nature of it, really should be doing work where and when it's required. So I think many jobs around that, again, the fixed jobs, the hospitals, the doctors, those sorts of people will need to be where they'll need to be at a particular time because they don't know what's going to happen. But we're increasingly moving to a just-in-time system where products and services will be available whenever and wherever we want them. And I do think that's the way that we're going to see it.
So will this be led, and as you said, it's probably already started, is it led by the consumer or by the business, the person behind the cash register selling the product?
I think it's led by both. The reality is that both do it, and when we're talking about employment, we're talking about firstly perhaps somebody choosing a career path where that's appropriate, or an employer looking at the way that they do work and saying that we'd rather give you an allowance to work at home or an allowance to do something else rather than being in the office all of the time. Still great reasons for doing it. And if we're talking about retail, I think it's also the consumer who says that I now want to shop at all different hours. I want to shop online. I want to come physically into your store, but I might want to do it on a late afternoon one day or maybe early evening on another day. So it's all parties really playing in this game.
Having a positive or a negative effect on family life, home life?
I actually think it will have a positive effect if it's done appropriately. Now what we're doing is trying to construct family life into a couple of days or into a day a week, and we of course want to go to football and tennis and do all those things we do with our kids or with our loved ones. But wouldn't it be great to be able to, on a Wednesday afternoon when our kids have something at school where before we might not have been able to go, we can now quite easily go. No guilt attached. All we're doing is not using that time for work. And when it comes away from that period of time, we'll go back and do some work somewhere else and make up for it. So I think that the family will be able to actually manufacture time that suits them and their activities and what they like doing, rather than trying to, again, squeeze it all in to what's been told.
To argue that claim, Morris, I'm thinking now, in theory, I totally agree, but that's if we're all really efficient from the moment we start work until the moment we finish. And no one's going to be admitting here that they're lazy. But you have a slack day here and there, and could it put more pressure on what's got to be done at that exact time than most humans can cope with?
Well, the answer's got to be yes, because we're human beings. So some of us might be, to use that word, lazy about it. But I actually think most of us are mature. We know that work has to be done. Many of us will leave it for the last minute. But again, from an end viewpoint, as long as the work's done appropriately, it's done to specification and on time, and we're talking about all of those things having to be mandated, then I don't think it really matters. I think that many people that I see that move into this life kind of start that way and then learn very quickly they're making life difficult for themselves and they tend to pace themselves a bit better.
So what do you think, Morris? People are going to be hearing this interview, then going to their boss tomorrow and saying, look, I want to work the first 4 days at home. Where should we start?
I think many people have had that discussion already. Again, it needs to be appropriate to the work that's been done. So you need to look at what you're doing, who you're doing it with, when and where, and ask yourself whether, in fact, it is in the boss's interest for you to do that. So the conversation with most bosses will be that if you can improve their bottom line and make it more profitable for them, make work easier or better, if you can do any of those, to me that's often the argument you take to them. And it's not a trade-off of saying, look, I want to be home for 4 days. It's a trade-off saying, I want to be more efficient to you. And I can do that by moving my hours around, like talking to customers when I need to, or whatever the argument is that you want to mount.
Anything else you'd like to add, Morris?
I think it's just a brave new world of work, and we need to start moving towards it. Many new tasks we're doing too, many new things are ahead. And one of the things that I always say is that 60% of the jobs we're doing in 10 years, we don't even know about today.